702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
So joining me on the line this morning is Carmen Kitsia, writer at The South African, that website. Carmen is very much passionate about reading, writing and all things book related, and currently doing her honours degree in linguistics at Stellenbosch University. Carmen, thank you so much for availing yourself this morning on Weekend Breakfast. It's an absolute pleasure, and I was delighted to hear that we'd be joined by a young person, a recent graduate when it came to books, when it came to her studies. But of course, I wondered, will this change the tone, the texture of the kind of titles that you'll be recommending this morning? But of course, just good taste in books is just good taste in books. Welcome to the program, Carmen.
Good morning, Rufilwe. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Carmen, if you could just give us a sense of what books do for you and in your life. Why are they such an indulgence, an escape, a treat, or just, you know, plainly put, necessary and important?
I think we can all agree that our lives have been lived online for a few years now, and especially with the COVID-19. But books provide, for me anyway, that little bit of escape where you put down your cell phone, you close the laptop, and you can escape a little bit. No matter what the literature that you like to read, whether it is, you know, thrillers or fiction or fantasy, it provides us with that very necessary escape that I think we all need today. And that's what books do for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it doesn't hurt that you do this as well for a living. And part of what you do is reviewing books and reading an extensive amount and list of books. So this morning, we've asked you on the program to just give us some recommendations and a couple of book recommendations and a couple of book reviews and titles that you think we ought to have on our nightstand. So let's get right into it and start with the very first title that I've got in front of me. Which is Everything is Beautiful, and it's been called a debut novel, truly worth the hype. Tell us about Everything is Beautiful, author, and how did the author acquit themselves? Eleanor Ray.
Everything is Beautiful is such a perfect example of escapism. It is escapism at its finest. The author is Eleanor Ray. She's an English author, and she has certainly made big waves in the book world with her debut novel. When you read this book, it does not read like a debut novel. It is excellently written. The characters are so well portrayed. You feel like you know them. A pet peeve of mine in reading is unrealistic dialogue. Even though I do read to escape, if there's dialogue that's unrealistic, I immediately I'm not happy. Mm. But the dialogue in Everything is Beautiful is so realistic, and the characters are so endearing. You cannot help but love them. And it's a feat of a debut novel. Mm. And it's about Amy Ashton. In America, the book has a slightly different title. In the USA, it's called The Missing Treasures of Amy Ashton.
Okay.
And Amy is a bit of an enigma. She is a bit of a collector of things. She will collect a teacup here and a little flower there and a little branch, and she cannot part with them. She's very sentimental, and she is definitely a hoarder. And so when a perfect little domestic haven is upset by some new neighbors that move in next door, she is forced to not just confront her own living situation, but how she has approached the world in general. She just goes to work. She comes back from work. She tries not to speak to people. She is very happy inside her home. She's very much a homebody. Mm. But with some new neighbors next door, she is forced to not just confront herself, her past, the way that she lives in the world, but also her heartbreak that she experienced years before. She is now forced to confront. And there's a bit of a mystery element, which I'm sure readers will enjoy. But the crux of the story is definitely the incredible characters and the stunning writing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. That's so fascinating. Good Housekeeping described this Ellen Ray book as one of those books that you just want to gulp down in one go. And an interesting premise. We know that, people have been fascinated. A popular culture has focused on hoarders and hoarding a lot over the last decade and a half or last two decades. Numerous television shows, either called Hoarders or linked to hoarding and the illness, the disease, the problem that it is. I wonder what sort of insights and perhaps empathetic insights that Ellen Ray was able to lend to this character of Amy Ashton, because I used to watch a fair amount of these hoarders shows, and I can't say that I didn't judge them still, even though you could quite clearly see that this is something that these people are struggling with. It's definitely emotional. It's definitely psychological. There's more at play than being untidy or having gross habits.
Yeah, absolutely. She is very sentimental. Her hoarding tendencies do not lean to the gross and unhygienic side of things, but she's extremely sentimental, and she uses it as a crutch to not have to encounter her feelings with about heartbreak, about her future, about herself. She distracts herself with all these beautiful little things that she is very emotionally connected to.
Really interesting stuff. So you do this, in your work as a reviewer of books, reading books, enjoying books, obviously, as well. I wonder what you bring to the art or the work of critiquing or the art of reviewing. Obviously, we've heard the term those who can't do. We know that that's not the case with you. But what do you bring to, or what sensibilities do you bring to reading other people's work and, preferring up or offering up to the public your opinions about that work? What's your general approach?
I, like all readers, I have my preferences. I prefer thrillers and mystery novels and some contemporary fiction. But when I read a book or a book from a specific genre that is maybe not my preferred genre, I always try and approach it with, who would this book appeal to?
Yeah.
Who would like this book? I might not like it because of I don't love reading fantasy or something, for example. But to a fantasy reader, would this book be appealing? What could they find in this book that they would enjoy? And that's why I always, in my reviews, I always give little quotes from the novel, especially if it's a novel with very beautiful writing, to give readers a taste, a little snippet of what they can expect from this book. And it's sort of a taster. If you like these quotes, then maybe you would enjoy the book. And this obviously does not apply to, larger construction issues. If I feel that there's a big error in the timeline of the book or the construction or the writing, something like that, I try and separate that from my opinions about the genre, for example.
Yeah.
So I try and give readers a nice comprehensive idea of the book and why it might appeal to certain people and why it might not appeal to other people. I'm very vocal about if I don't like the narrator of a book, for example, I find him annoying or something, then I will say this narrator did not appeal to me. But if you read the book and you love the narrator, you would be able to enjoy the story as well.
All right. So we've established that that dialogue, stellar dialogue, is definitely what stood out for you in Everything is Beautiful. A standout debut novel there by Ellen Ray. All right, let's move on to the second title that you're recommending or reviewing for this morning. Now, this one much, much closer to home. It's called The Profiler Diaries by Gerard Labuschagne. And sure. The subtitle there being From the Case Files of a Police Psychologist. Tell us about this book.
This book is definitely, when following Everything is Beautiful, this one is definitely of a different tone. It is much darker. It is nonfiction, and it is about the what we can call the behavioral science unit of South Africa in the South African police force. Mm. It actually has a different name here. We call it the investigative psychology section in our police force. And Gerard Labiskagne, he was in it for more than 20 years. And he encountered many cases that he solved and he had to combat with science. Mm. And not only is it a local angle, and it's a brilliantly written book from one of our own, and I think that alone should recommend it to readers, but the content of it, although gruesome and although difficult to get through, is very important for South African citizens to be aware of. It talks about gender-based violence and how these things are combated within the police force. Labiskagne mentions that often there is a disconnect between the general public and the way that the police force handles these things. And he brings those two together. Mm. He connects the outside world with the internal investigations and how they went about solving this. And he's a brilliant writer and a brilliant man, obviously.
Yeah.
And it is an excellently written nonfiction book. And this would appeal to even thriller fans or murder mystery fans.
Mm.
Even though it is nonfiction, I find that usually there's a great divide between, as a reader, if you like fiction and if you like nonfiction. But this is a nonfiction title that I think even fans of fiction, such as thrillers, murder mysteries, horror, that they would enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it is just so interesting and so well written, and it really takes you behind the scenes of these investigations, these famous South African cases that Labiskagne had a hand in solving. And it's really a very special inside look into how the behavioral sciences work and how they work in South Africa.
You know, what I'm curious about, Carmen, is obviously we know that globally the true crime genre has really blown up and is incredibly popular. In the South African context, we've got a proliferation of investigative pieces, of books, for instance, of podcasts as well. And I just wonder how Gerard Labiskagne, you know, in talking about and looking at and unpacking his work, you know, working on, as you said, some famous serial murder and rape cases in his 14 and a half years with the SAPT. I wonder how he talks about or handles, you know, descriptions of violence. Is it detail filled without being salacious? Does he go into the nitty gritty and really lay bare the scenes that he encountered, the way these awful crimes happened? Because I do think it's quite an interesting thing. And I was having this conversation with a colleague recently that for some reason, I can very, very easily consume a true crime drama, whether it is in a podcast or whether it's in a show. I can consume all of that stuff that's from other countries, that's from overseas. When it's local, when it's South African, I find it incredibly difficult because, of course, literally close to home, but it just feels that much more visceral. How does he handle the violence and just the details of what his day-to-day job entailed?
He is very, very vocal about the effect of his work on just himself. He describes it as the depths of hell. You visit the depths of hell in his line of work.
Mm.
And he mentions that it's fine, you have to go there to do your job, to find these criminals, but he says don't hang out there too long.
Yeah.
And in his book he has a very clinical and unemotional approach to these crimes.
Mm.
But that doesn't make it any less hard hitting. It is not salacious at all. When
yeah.
you read it, you can tell that this man he absolutely just focuses on the facts. And he uses the facts to solve these cases.
Yeah.
But it is still quite tense and difficult to get through, especially because it's dealing with South African cases.
Mm.
But Labiskagne, he brings a very authoritative and all-knowing approach. You can tell when you read this book, this man knows what he is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And his reason for writing this book, it was not just to shed some necessary light on the way that these types of crimes are solved in South Africa, but also in how great our police force, or the section of our police force really is.
Mm.
Because I think it's often overlooked. You know, you hear about the FBI and their behavioral sciences unit and Scandinavia, but you never really hear about the South African Forensic Sciences Unit, and they are one of the world's top leading sections on these types of crimes.
Yeah.
And so it's really difficult to get through, but it does make you feel proud in a sense that we have such incredible people who are working at our disposal now with this heavy type of science.
You know, I think you've led me very nicely into my next question, which is exactly that. What newfound appreciation you might have gleaned or gained from reading this book? Because as you say, we understand, or we've been messaged quite heavily regarding the FBI and the kind of work that they do, or other international sort of forensic science teams and from various countries. But what were the sort of insights that surprised you as you read the book, whether it's methodologies, whether it's the technology that's brought to bear, or whether it's the kind of, or how they operate in general, and the kind of approach that, you know, Gerard Labuschagne and his colleagues brought to their work in investigating, you know, serial murders or rape cases? What were those few things that stood out and you thought to yourself, well, I certainly haven't seen this on any CSI program?
Well, exactly that. The book is extremely realistic. Obviously, he's writing about facts and about real cases. And, I mean, the contrast of when you read this book and you see how it actually works compared to what we see in TV shows and series and things, it's very much a contrast. And he points that out in his book when he takes you behind the scenes and you learn things like the fingerprints actually aren't accessible after just 3 hours and it's not solved in a weekend. He brings that very realistic angle to it, which I, as a true crime fan, really enjoy. And I'm sure other true crime fans will enjoy it, because we're very saturated with this sort of pop culture type of crime solving. And Labuschagne says this is how it really happened. And what really stood out to me was the respect for the victims in these cases. It is completely victim-centered, obviously, but in the outside world, it's mostly that the focus is on the perpetrators, on who did this, and rather than who was this done to. And Labuschagne re-centers that, and he focuses just on the victims. He did extensive research speaking to the victims who wanted to tell their stories, often doing it anonymously,
okay,
or speaking to the family members of the victims. But it's so completely victim-centered, and that is so refreshing. And it should be like that in every crime case. It should rather be about who was affected rather than who did it.
Absolutely. Fascinating stuff. So, of course, we do have conversations around the interior life, or the psychological impact, rather, that this kind of work does have on police officers. You mentioned that the author, Labuschagne, you know, touched on this kind of work taking you into the depths of hell. Does he elaborate at all about, you know, the further sort of impact that this kind of work had on him specifically, or perhaps his colleagues? Does he at all get personal in this regard?
He does open up about it, and the effect that this type of work, doing it day in and day out, can have on a person's psyche. And he mentions that he had to oftentimes, when you work with these type of cases, you cannot just switch off. It's very difficult to, you know, have a 9-to-5, and then after 5, you don't think about your work at all anymore. You can completely switch off. He mentions that this type of work, it follows you everywhere you go and throughout your life. But he mentions that one of the reasons he wrote this book was because he was starting to forget the finer details of these cases. And he said, it sounds strange, but you do forget these horrible things. and he says it's often healthier to do so. But he wanted to, while it was still fresh, so to speak, he wanted to put it down while he could remember it all. And this worked as a sort of a cathartic process, because he could get it all out, tell his side of the story, explain how it worked, to sort of move on. But he also mentioned that you cannot move on when you've seen, you know, these type of things. It's very difficult to just not let that affect you in the future and everything. And it's a sacrifice that he says that he has to make, and his colleagues, because you do sacrifice that sort of, not innocence, but you cannot ever really forget the things that you've seen and the people that you've spoken to in these cases. So he mentions that it will always take a toll, but he finds that these stories are more important to tell than the toll that it would take on him for telling it.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating stuff. And maybe the right word, as you alluded to, is innocence, because as he says, there's some things that once seen cannot be unseen, right? And you can't go back to that same ignorant bliss that citizens quite often are able to enjoy for the most part. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Carmen. It's been an absolute pleasure getting your reviews and getting to speak to you as well. Carmen Kitsia is a writer at The South African. And just a reminder of those two titles that she recommended for us this morning. The first one, Everything is Beautiful by Eleanor Ray. And that final book that we're chatting about is The Profiler Diaries by Gerard Labuschagne.